I'm Rick, I'm your alcoholic. I want to thank
everybody for coming this evening. You're in for a big treat. And please, if anybody got a cell phone that's on, turn it off, please. Okay, let's give a warm welcome to our 10-minute speaker, Michelle.
Hi, my name's Michelle, and I'm an alcoholic. For me, I don't really remember where it all started, other than I drank to not have to feel. I drank to cover a lot of pain, and I'm like really nervous. I don't speak well in front of others. I come from a long history of family with alcoholism and drug abuse, so I don't know if the odds were just against me in the beginning. My drinking took me to a lot of dark places, and I did a lot of things in my past that I'm not proud of, and hurt a lot of people. And what got me here was an intervention with the highway patrolman, and probably like the best thing that's happened in my life, because now today I have my kids in my life. I have family members that are here that are very supportive. I also have a lot of family still out there in their addiction. But I give it to God today. I have like a long list of things I wanted to say tonight, but now my mind's like totally blank. With my sobriety, I have going on 11 months sober, clean sober. It hasn't been easy. When I first got to AA, I was very angry and didn't want nothing to do with nobody. And it's like, how are you people going to help me? I had that attitude. And it took a while. And it took a lot of meetings to finally reach out and talk to other people and ask for help. And I've heard many good things here. I've had a sponsor that helped push me through one step. My fourth step was like the hardest one for me to get through, but I did it. I went through my 12 steps. Working on them over again every day, it's something I gotta do to keep with my sobriety. You never know who you're gonna meet here. Everybody that I've met in sobriety that I can call on, did come through for me, whether it's moving or helping me with surprise for employment, just support. I can count on everybody in this room, and I've never had that. Even with family, I have a lot of family that I never reached out to, but today I do. I reach out. I pick up that phone. It's too heavy. I learned how to do a lot of things here, to live life. Before, I was like always wanting to be out and about, and then in the first few months of my sobriety, I was afraid to go places. I was afraid to do things. And here is where I've come to function where I'm able to interact with other people and do it sober. This last December, I went to a speaker meeting, which is also a dance. I've never danced sober ever in my life. I've never even done karaoke sober. Forget it. You know, it's not happening. But I've learned how to do that through AA and the friends I've met here, and we just have a ball. I'm coming up on a year of sobriety, and me and my cousin, it's going to be her umbilical birthday, but it's also going to be my sobriety's birthday. We plan on going skydiving to celebrate that. That's something I've always wanted to do, and I'm going to do it. Thanks, Dr. Potter. I'm sorry if I didn't take up the full 10 minutes, but I'm really, really nervous. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Michelle. We will take a short break, so enjoy the coffee and the cookies, and we'll get ready for our main speaker, Tomas. Okay. Everybody's in for a big treat tonight. I'm we're going to introduce our main speaker, Tomas B., 37 years, Fresno, California.
My name is Tomas, and I'm an alcoholic. Very grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd like to first off, you know, thank Rick, you know, and Abraham, you know, for inviting me, you folks for being here, you know, and Mickey and Robert, you know, for driving up here with me from Fresno. It's good to be here, man. Good to be here in Soleri land. You know, we hear a lot about you guys in Fresno, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Mickey and I went to a meeting the other day, you know, at the Alano Club in Fresno, and a stranger showed up. You know, I know sometimes, you know, you get a lot out of strangers. This stranger shows up and he follows up to the parking lot after the meeting, you know. And he says, you know what, man? I've been to meetings, you know, from the Canadian border to the Mexican border. But something's grabbed me here. And, you know, we're looking at the guy and I said to him, well, you know what, man? I've been to meetings all over this country. But there's something very special about Fresno and about this valley when it comes to Alcoholics Anonymous, man. There's something special about Bakersfield, Tulare, Fresno, Madera, Merced, man. You know, I hit my bottom in Fresno, 1975. I came in out of the hospital. I was in the hospital as a result of a brawl that I got into. You know, I was a boxer. You know, box tomatoes, you know, and onions. They took me in an ambulance to the hospital, you know, after this brawl, you know, and when, you know, I've been estranged from my family, man. You know, I was, you know, I first came to AA in 73. I was fostered by my Al-Anon and by my older brother. I come from an alcoholic family, okay? I have an older brother who's got 46 years in the program. My younger brother has 41. I'm the one, I'm celebrating right now, 37, man. And it's a pleasure for me to be like this with you guys. For me, it's a celebration, and it amazes the hell out of me, man, that I'm still around. You know. But, you know, they took me in an ambulance to this hospital, man, and, you know, I knew that if it was a hospital, there had to be some drugs. So I'm in the emergency room saying, give me some. Creating a disturbance, you know. So they gave me a shot of morphine. Shit, I wasn't thinking anything, man. I wake up, man, you know. I began to feel a niche on my knee. And the pain got so bad, you know, that it woke me up. And when I woke up, they had me strapped down to this bed, man. And there's doctors and nurses around me, and there's a fellow, you know, with a drill drilling a hole through my knee. And I'm strapped down to this bed, and I'm looking at them, and I say, give me some. So they give me another shot of morphine. I remember I'm going on a shit up in my other leg. So I'm getting a shot of morphine every 3 hours, man. You know what I'm saying? They can't find a place to inject me anymore. My ass, my arms are full of holes, you know. The head nurse comes up, she says to me, Tomas, the doctor wants to meet with you, wants to talk to you. You know, I've been there for say like a lifetime, okay? So she said, they have to arrange a meeting, you know, with you. So I said, you know, okay, fine, man. And remind me of a story that I heard, you know, from you people, the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, about this little wino. This little wino, you know, he's in and out of, you know, detox centers, in and out of jail, man, in and halfway houses, man, you know, 20, you know, 15 times. You know. The head man tells him, look, the doctor wants to talk to you. Takes me into a little room, man. There's a doctor sitting behind the table with a white sheet, man. Got a clear glass of water, clear glass of alcohol. Little wino sits down. The doctor picks up the little worm and says, shoulders him like that. Did you see that? But the wino says, yeah. And again, the little worm drops it in the clear glass of water. The little worm starts to swim around just as happy as could be doing his somersaults, you know. The doctor says to the wino, did you see that? And the wino says, yeah. and he gets a little worm and drops it in the little glass of alcohol. That little worm starts to swim around, man, happy as can be. All of a sudden, it stiffens up, dead as a doornail, man, and it floats to the top of that little glass of alcohol. The doctor says to the little wino, "Did you see that?" And the wino says, "Yeah." "Did you learn anything from it?" The wino says, "Yeah." If I keep on drinking, I won't get worms. The doctor wants to talk to me, man. He says, "You know what, Tomas? We've got two kinds of patients in this hospital that are self-destructive. And you fall into one of those categories." He says, "You know, we got one patient that comes in here, and regardless of what's bothering him, whether it's a toothache, you know, a hangnail, you know, a pain in the ass, they want to get cut. They want an operation." And he says, and you fall into the second category, he says. "You're the kind of patient that never wants to get off of the drugs. You see, folks, I stopped drinking in 73 when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay? But I thought, you know, I tried to prove that I was the exception to the rule. I kept on using drugs until 75 when I ended up in that hospital. So I said to myself, well, so I'm an alcoholic and I can't drink alcohol, man. I'll keep on using dope." And I was the only dope there, man. The doctor says to me, "Tomas, we're going to take you off of that morphine with a Percodan." So I'm getting a shot of morphine every 3 hours. The Percodan to get me off the morphine. Two cold meals to settle my stomach, and two reds to go to sleep at night because one's not enough. My partner comes to visit me, man. During visiting now, the first thing comes out of my mouth is, "Are you holding anything?" So he proceeds to lay a bullet on me, man, you know, a red from the street, and I drop it, and you know what, man? They say that a man knows when he's going to die. Well, you know, I began to feel weak, man, you know? And I turned white as a sheet. And then the nurse comes, takes a look at me, she says, "Damn," she starts giving me a blood transfusion, okay? And I'm, you know, hoses coming up my hands, up my nose, you know what I'm saying? I get on the telephone, I say, "Mama, you know, I've had a bit, I bring you the rosary." She didn't want to see me anymore. See, one of the similarities, man, about the alcoholic, you know, that we hurt the people that we love. We hurt the people we should be helping, man. That's one of the similarities that we all have. But there's other similarities, man, that are bitter. For example, tonight, man. You know, it feels good, man, to know, man, that I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. That things don't depend on me. The world doesn't depend on me, man. That's freedom. The only time I get in trouble, man, is when I think that things depend on me. Like, you know, this thing for me, man, that don't depend on me. Sure, I'm free, but don't depend on me. You know, it's God's will, not my will. And I'm here, man, to try to do His will. See? And before I even got here, man, I got down on my knees and I said, "I'm going to Tulare. Yeah. I'm going to Tulare and to do Your will. Yeah. Not to do my will, man." And that's freedom, man. It doesn't depend on me, man, you know, how the group is doing, you know, or how my family's doing. You know, you can't trust God and play God. When I think everything depends on me, I'm playing God. Okay? So I'm grateful and thankful, man, to be free. It's here for all of us, man, but it doesn't happen overnight. Okay? So, you know, she didn't want to see me anymore, man. They didn't have a place to put me because nobody wanted me. Somehow, God touched her heart. And she took me back in. Nobody else wanted me, you know. I have 5 kids. They take off to school. She takes off to work. Somebody had to work. And hey, and they released me, you know, with a prescription of codeine and a body cast that came way up to my chest, man. It weighed more than I did. I mean, shit, I didn't weigh 100 pounds. And she takes off to work, the kids take off to school, and I get confined to that body cast, man. Talk about being locked up, I've been in jail, but that was worse. I'd be laying there, man, in that body cast, you know, I couldn't bend over. Because the body cast came all the way from my knees, all the way up to my neck. That's how I walked into AA, man. I'd be laying there, you know, she arranged this room for me, clean, man. The sheets were clean, you know, the room was clean. And I'd be laying there, and I'd be there by myself, man, and she'd take off to school, the children, she'd take off to work, the children take off to school, and I'd be looking up at the ceiling, man, and the ceilings were cracking, man. And I'd look at the windows, and the windows were shattered. And I'd be confined to that body cast, thinking to myself, man, here you are playing the free shot. Because see, that was a big shot when I was half shot. I said, you're not even playing the big shot, man. You ain't done a damn thing to help this family. Back then, you know, there was no Narcotics Anonymous. There was no Spanish-speaking Alcoholics Anonymous back then. We all met at the Alano Club. And every meeting was a different group. The Alistair group, you know, they had the Mary J group, they had all kinds of different. But each group, you know, was responsible for the seventh tradition. And we all met there at the Alano Club. On one side was AA, on the other side was Al-Anon. And she was going to Al-Anon meetings. Hey, I got an Al-Anon in Ohm, but we call it Black Belt Al-Anon. You know what a Black Belt Al-Anon is? You know, I used to close up the bars, man. You know, I used to come home, you know, stoned, you know, and I'm falling off a motorcycle, you know. This guy, you know, he's sitting in the bar, okay, he's passed out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Bartender's getting ready to close up the bar, wants to go home, man. You know, this guy's passed out in the bar. So the bartender calls a taxi, you know. Taxi comes and gets the guy, takes him home, you know. Takes him up the stairs, carries him up the stairs, rings the doorbell. The lady comes out, you know, and the cab driver says, is this yours? She says, yeah. Well, he called a cab and now he doesn't have the money to pay the fare. When she says, well, how much does he owe you? Cab driver says, $10. She goes over, opens up her purse, brings out a 20, gives it to him, take him back where you got him from. I think of Betty A, man. I want to go to one of those meetings with you. I want to go to, take me to one of those meetings. So, she took me to a meeting. Had a hell of a time getting there, man, because I'm just trying to have this body cast, I couldn't bend over. So the way we did it, man, is my two sons stood in the back, she stood in the front, and then I had to fall back. Then they caught me, then they squeezed me in the back seat of the car. And I'm laying back and saying, are we there yet? So we got to the Alano Club, man, and I get out of the car, man, kind of only got no towel, and I walk into the meeting, man, like if I caught it on a hand grenade, man, and I get in there and I look around and there's a bunch of cowboys in there. And I've been fighting cowboys all my life, man. And they leave that cowboy talk on me. You can sober up a drunken horse thief, all you got left is a sober horse thief. You can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. A woman's ass, a whiskey glass, turning into a horse's ass. The horse has to go in front of the cart, Thomas. If you got the cart in front of the horse, you're not going to get anywhere, man. You got to put the horse in front of the cart. So I went home after that meeting, man. I got the prescription of codeine and I flushed it down the toilet, man. And I kept going back to the meeting. And there was a fellow there, you know, at Wednesday night, a big book study meeting. A fellow named Jim. You know, big handlebar mustache, you know. He says to me, Tomas, you're going to have to admit to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic, man, if this program's going to work. Otherwise, it's not going to work. It's not for people that need it, man. It's for people that want it. Now, I had a hell of a time, man, making contact with my innermost self because you know and I know that when you're drinking and using drugs, you have to lie. You lie about where you've been, you lie about where you're going, you're a liar. And I buried my innermost self with lies, man, you know. But to the best of my ability, they said, Tomas, that guy you look at in the mirror. You have to admit your innermost, so that guy that you look at in the mirror, well, shit, sometimes I look in the mirror, I see happier faces in a police lineup, man. But to the best of my ability, man, I admitted to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. And you know what, man? That's the best thing that I have ever done. I noticed that there was no newcomers here, man. You know, but when I began then to improve, my life began to improve a little bit, man, is when I stopped drinking and using drugs. That was the beginning. Understand that what we do here, man, we try to improve our conscious contact with God. Not the unconscious, man. You know, you work the conscious mind, then the unconscious will follow. You know. The subconscious will follow the unconscious. So that's what we do in AA, man. I admitted to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic, man, and I keep coming back to the meetings. I haven't touched a drink, man. No mind altering chemicals, man. 27 years, I'm celebrating now, man, by the grace of God, man, and it amazes the hell out of me. You know what I'm saying? Understand, my older brother's got 46, my younger brother's got 41. For some reason, it took me a little bit longer, but I'm grateful, man. I'm grateful. You know, I've come to Alcoholics Anonymous, man, and said, you gotta get a sponsor. Well, see, I seen this guy walking the meeting, man, you know, and a bunch of, you know, guys in rings, man, wearing nice clothes, and very guy in a big, big truck, and I say, I'm gonna ask that guy to be my sponsor. But they say, do the opposite. Do the opposite. I didn't know how to do the opposite, man. Shit, one time, you know, I couldn't even work, man. You know, the first time that the doctor allowed me to go back to work, I was working with this fellow, and he's in the right room. So I didn't have no transportation. I didn't have no bicycle, no nothing, you know. I got this job, you know, mixing paint for Sherwin-Williams. And the manager, you know, of the shop, asked to give me a ride, he gave me a ride home. So I get in his Volkswagen, man, and to go home for lunch, you know. And all of a sudden I look around, man, there's tons of roaches, man, and a roll of joints, you know. And the first thing that comes to my mind is I'm going to say to him, look over there, and when you look over there, I'm going to get out. But I did the second thing. I said to myself, come on, you don't need that, man. You don't need that anymore. So, you know, do the opposite, man, of what it's my nature to do. You're going to turn to the left, turn to the right. You're going to drink, don't drink. You're going to get angry, don't get angry. It says, you know, you're going to have to come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. You know, one of the beautiful things, man, about what we have here, we don't keep secrets from anybody. Man, if there's any new people here, we don't keep no secrets from the newcomers. We don't keep any secrets from anybody. The old timers knew that you're only as sick as your secrets. You don't go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, man, and nothing is hidden from you. We don't hide nothing from anyone. You know, a man who's hiding is only half a life. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we're an open book. We don't have to hide from anybody. And they told me, you've got to admit, you know, you've got to come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. Well, there's three things all of us have to do, man, in the second step. You got to do it, I got to do it, the newcomer has to do it, man. There ain't nobody here that's greater than anybody. The best thing you can become in AA is a member. That's the highest you can reach in being a member. So, you know, I'm grateful, man, and I'm thankful, you know. Three things all of us have to do. The first thing you have to do is to relax. Well, how in the hell do you relax, man? There's a warrant out for my arrest, man. My wife don't want to see, but you have to relax. And the second thing we have to do is stop fighting. An alcoholic will fight, man, when there's no reason to fight. We'll get angry when there's no reason to get angry. We'll drink when there's no reason to drink. We'll use when there's no reason to use. Thousand excuses, but no reason, man. So we have to relax, we have to stop fighting, hand up and box these gloves. Okay? And the third thing is the hardest one of all, man, just to have an open mind. Most alcoholics are closed-minded, man. My way or the highway. I went to a meeting today, man, you know what the topic was? Trust. Trust. You know, in one of the pages, you know, and Bill sees it, says that, you know, where there's no trust, there's no love. I didn't know how to love, man, so I came to you people. I didn't know how to love unconditionally, man. You know, shit, if I love you, you were my hostage. You do what I tell you to do, man, and think like I want you to think, be where I want you to be, feel like I want you to feel. Hey, we live happily ever after. But I have to open that door a little bit. We come to Alcoholics and I open that door just a little bit, man. And you can open it some more. Sometimes you slam it shut, but you can always open it some more, man. So we relax, we stop fighting, and we ask for an open mind. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're right. Maybe I'm wrong, man. Why, hey, what if there really is a God, and everybody knows it, except me? What if life is really good, man? And everybody knows it except me. Okay? That's what I ask myself on the second step, man, when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? And you know what? That's the truth. There's a lot of problems. Yeah, man, we're bombarded with problems in this valley. You know what I'm saying? Not only in this valley, but everywhere you go, man. You know, I got my older brother does the same thing that you and I do in Phoenix, Arizona. He's got 46 years in the program. My younger brother, you know, does the same thing you and I do in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So, you know, we're everywhere, man. And you know, whenever I go somewhere and they ask for a visitor, I say, yeah, my name is Tomas and I'm from Fresno. It never fails, somebody will say, yeah, I've been in jail in Fresno. And we make a decision. We make a decision, man. Best decision I ever made. Best decision any of us can ever make. To turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understand Him. God, I offer my life to Thee, to build what I do with it as Thou will. Relieve me from the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I may help. Of Thy glory, Thy love, and the way of life. We have a loving God in the amen. We have a merciful God. And it's here for everybody that wants it. Not just for a certain few. Not just for the old timers. Not just for the people that do the service work. It's here for all of us, man. You know. But I gotta practice. Hey, I didn't become an alcoholic overnight. It took a lot of practice. Well, it's the same thing with Alcoholics Anonymous, man. We gotta practice the program. Yeah. There's an old saying, practice makes perfect. But the difficult part is to practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. You know, I used to have a clothing store downtown in Fresno. Maybe some of you guys went there. I outfitted some of the sharpest dressers in Fresno. Name of it was Tomas Fashions of Fresno. All right. I lost it, man. You know, I didn't do it. I threw it away, man, from my drinking and my drugs. It gave me, you know, the vehicle to where I could reach my bottom. Yeah. But there used to be this gal used to come into my shop by the name of Mary Lou. Now, Mary Lou used to come in one day, man, and she'd be wearing these real long dresses, real long sleeves, you know, and a collar all the way up to her neck, took a Bible. She'd walk into the store, man, and look around, and then she'd walk back out. The next day, she would come in with a real short mini skirt, man, all painted up and cussing like a drunken sailor. One day, she was one way, the next day, she was another way. I used to sponsor this fellow. Hardest fellow. He needed about 15 sponsors. Everything bothered him, man. Everything bothered him. But if something bothered you, he'd forget everything that was bothering him to help you with whatever was bothering you. That's Alcoholics Anonymous, man. That's Alcoholics Anonymous. The paradox of AA, man, is that we give it away to keep it. We give it away to keep it, man. One time I was at a meeting there at the Alano Club, man. It was a small meeting. There was just a few people there. And a stranger walked in. Another stranger walked in, man. And he sat directly across from me. And it was a small meeting. And I'm looking at this stranger, man. I mean, the guy's glowing, man. I mean, peace and serenity are just oozing out of every pore, man. You know what I'm saying? And I'm watching him, man. He's sitting right across from me. Well, they called on everybody except that stranger. After the meeting, I walked up to him and I said to him, hey man, pass the formula. He looked right at me and he said, Tomas, I just keep giving it away. I just keep giving it away. Grateful and thankful, man, for Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know how to love, man. I didn't know the unconditional love, man, until you people showed me. You people taught me, man. How to go out, man, and pick up a drunk without expecting anything in return. Now try doing that at home. Try helping somebody at home, man, your children, your significant other, without expecting something in return. Then you'll be walking down the boulevard, man, and you'll be feeling like, hey, it doesn't depend on me. Nothing depends on me, man. I'm free. All I gotta do, man, is what I do. You know, but now he's my sponsor. Are we gonna ask, you know, this guy with the diamond ring, the big truck, you know what I'm saying? You know, the nice suits to be my sponsor, but I did the opposite. Instead I asked Bernard, man, because he had what I wanted. He had what I wanted, man. He had the discipline, okay, that I needed, man. Okay? I try to do what I say I'm gonna do. And I try to not do the things I say I'm not gonna do. So Bernard was my sponsor. I love the guy, man. You know. He raised me like a little baby. That's what I was, a big baby when I come into AA. You know. But I made that decision then to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand. And then I was told I was going to have to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. Well, you know, I can look at what's wrong, you know, with my significant other, with my grandkids, you know, with you, with anybody else, man, it ain't gonna do a damn thing for me. I gotta look at what the hell is wrong with me, man. Why do I behave that way? Why don't can I keep, you know, a firm grip on the handle, man, so that I don't fly off the handle? Yeah? I gotta keep a tight grip on that handle, man, so that I don't fly off the handle. You come and asked me the other day, how you doing? Hey, I haven't hit anybody. But I, you know, that fear, there ought to be a law against fear. It causes more trouble than seeing, man. I'm saying the big book out like that, man. Hey, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, man, to find out what the hell's wrong with you, man. What's wrong with me? There's nothing kept secret here for anybody, man. You won't become an Einstein in AA, but you'll find the life that Einstein would end in, man. A lot of people have a lot more than I have. A lot of people have a lot, you know, more possessions, you know, maybe more up here than I have. You know, but they can't stop drinking. They can't stop using. See? So I'm grateful today, man. I'm grateful to be here celebrating with you guys in Fruity Land, Larry. Man, a lot of shootings going on here, man. Hey, you know, and about that trust, you know, we admit to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. You know, I said to my pastor, hey, man, you know, I can't control that woman. He looked at me, he said, control that woman? Shit, you can't even control yourself, man. I said, I'm feeling all this guilt. And he said, that's because you're guilty, cabrón. But we gotta trust somebody, man, because single-handed combat don't get it here. Single-handed, it's a we program. I can't, but we can. I'm celebrating 37 years because of the we, not because of me. It doesn't depend on me, man. Thank God. Thank God that things don't depend on me, man. I'm free. Man. Whenever I think that everything depends on me, that's when I get in trouble. So we admit to God, to ourselves, to another human being, the exact nature of our wrong. I didn't trust anybody because I wasn't trustworthy. I didn't know I wasn't trustworthy until my sponsor called it to my attention. I learned a lot. We learn from each other. We need each other, man. If you're an alcoholic like me, man, shit, I didn't need anybody. That was my answer, man. When anybody would call me on anything, you know, I'd say, I don't need you. Mind your own business. Well, let me tell you something, folks. You know, what I'm doing here is I'm minding my own damn business. I'm minding my own damn business. My number one business, man, is not drinking and not using drugs. That's what I'm doing here. That's what I do when I go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, man. Is I mind my own business. If you want to drink and use drugs, that's your business. But if you want to stop drinking and using drugs, that's our business. We're in the business of not drinking and not using drugs. And you'll find that freedom. Doesn't happen overnight. Doesn't happen overnight, man. It takes a while. A mile takes a while. A yard is hard. But by an inch, it's a cinch. Day at a time, man. Then we become entirely ready, man. See, when I was drinking and using, man, people used to ask me, hey, why do you drink so much? Why do you use so much? But I didn't want to hear that. My mother used to say, the mouth only hears what he wants to hear. He used to tell my brother, don't wind them up, otherwise you won't be able to stop them. But we become entirely ready. We become willing to become entirely ready. You know, this is not a program of perfection, man. It's progress. Progress. Not perfection, man. You know, we progress in the program. We progress in the good life, man. We come from the crazy life to the good life. So we progress, man, slowly, in God's time. Everything is in God's time, not in my time. You know. But we become willing to become entirely ready. This is the step they call it, that separates the men from the boys. Well, you know, I learned the difference between the men and the boys. I've always been like a little boy, man. You know, I won't play unless I get my way. But, you know, the difference between the men and the boys, I believe, is that, you know, a man knows, you know, that he doesn't have to have his way all the time. You don't have to have your way all the time. things I want my own way when it's not good for me, man. So we become entirely rid of him. God remove all of these defects of character. Hey, man, if he removed the obsession to drink and to use drugs from me, man, well, how he can remove all of this other garbage that's going on in my head? Because I got a marching band in my head, man. And I got to change that station. I don't have to listen to that music that I don't like, man. Change the station. An alcoholic by himself is in bad company. An alcoholic in the room all by himself is outnumbered. So we humbly ask him, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings, Would you rather be right or would you rather feel right? Would you rather look good or would you rather feel good? That's what I had to ask myself, man. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. My Creator, I am not willing that you should have all of my life, both the good and the bad of me. I pray that you now remove every defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength. Grant me strength as I step out from here to do thy bidding. Thy will, not mine, be done. Then we make a list, man. I'm not making all kinds of lists. Especially when I was new, old time age, used to say, come on, make a list. Number one, write the things you have to do. Number two, write the things you like to do. Number three, write the things you hate to do. Now stop doing number three. It's a simple program. There's nothing complicated about Alcoholics Anonymous. The only thing complicated here, man, is the alcoholic himself. But it's a simple program. The more simple things are, the better. If they're complicated, I leave them alone. I don't try to figure things out. There's nothing to figure out. It's already been laid out for us, man. That's what the old timers laid for us. God bless them. They left the steps for us. They left the traditions for us. They left all of this for us, man. You're not the first one or the last one. Alcoholics Anonymous was here before I got here, and it'll be here way after I'm gone, man. But we make a list of the people that we've harmed. Now that doesn't mean we go about saying, hey, I'm sorry, or making amends, man. Because we're not there yet. But what it does mean, man, is we get a picture of the kinds of harm that we cause other people. The deadly deeds, man. You know what the deadly deeds are? Demanding and dependence. Demanding independence, man. That's the kind of harm that we cause other people. Demanding that they do what we want them to do. Or over-depending on people, man. I have to decrease, and God has to increase. And is that simple, man? Then we make direct amends. We make direct amends, wherever possible. Except when to do so, would injure people. We're not here to harm people, man. We make direct amends to our family and friends that we've been especially stubborn and stupid, the book tells us, man. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where it's the hardest to work the program is in your own home. But that's where the joy of living comes in, man. Once you're able to do that, how can you go out and work with a drunk man and you can't go home and work with a stubborn woman? Or a stubborn man, for that case, man, you know what I'm saying? Hey, there's no difference here, man. The only difference is the plumbing, they told me. There's an old saying, man, about, making direct amends. He said, you want to light up a room? Leave it. I don't do the shit that I used to do anymore, man. Thanks to you people. That doesn't mean that I got it together, man, because I don't have it together. What I do have is 37 years, man, of working this program, And I've had, my share, man, of dry drunks. But, a dry drunk is better than a wet one. Okay? I don't pick up the first drink, I don't pick up that first drug. I've had more than my share of dry drunks. But today, man, I don't carry that cloud of gloom with me, man, when I walk into my own house. I used to walk into my house, man, and I can be guilty of that today if I'm not careful to see what I can take. I gotta walk in there, man, and see what I can give. Alcoholics Anonymous, man, is a program of giving and forgiving. Giving and forgiving, man, that's Alcoholics Anonymous. I have to forgive people, man. Somebody reminded me at the meeting today, man, hey, none of us are going to get out of this world alive. Hey, life is in session, man. Every day, man, God gives me another chance at life. That's what Alcoholics Anonymous does, man. When you come to one of these meetings, man, you can start over when you leave the meeting. You have another chance. You don't have to stay in, I don't have to stay in that anger, that resentment, man, that hurt. I know hurt, man. I know hurt. And I don't have to stay there, man. Every day God gives me another chance. At life. And life is in session, man. I'm grateful, man. I'm going to share with you guys. Then we continue, man, you know, to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. We continue to admit that we're alcoholics, that our lives are unmanageable, man. We continue to come to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. We continue to make a decision to turn our life and our will over to the care of God as we understand them. We continue to take our own personal inventory, man. You know that emotional booby trap? You guys know what a booby trap is, man. You know, they use it, military people use it, man. Hunters use it to trap game. Well, you know, every alcoholic man has a booby trap inside his own head. That emotional booby trap. It's got you, man. So, you know, that tells us, man, about, you know, to continue to go to meetings, continue to work the program, man. Continue to follow the steps. Continue to be giving and forgiving, man. I was a taker. All my life I was a taker. I didn't know how to love unconditionally, man. I was sitting in a meeting there at the Alago Club. I was using the program, man, and old Mike Bach comes up to me and says, "So Mike, I just got a call from the central office, man. There's to go on a cross-step call. You want to go with me?" My first thought was to say no, but I did the opposite. I said yes. Yeah. So old Mike Bach and I, we go to do this cross-step call. The first cross-step call I ever been on, man. We go up over on Fresno Street by the Taco Shack. There was an apartment, you know, a two-story apartment. We walk up there, and me and Mike. Mike was a big guy, you know. We both walk up there, and he knocked on the door, and I'm standing there like I know what I'm doing. A guy opens the door, and Mike says to him, "Did you call Alcoholics Anonymous?" And the guy says, "Yeah." "Well," he said, "we're from Alcoholics Anonymous." And I'm he said, "Well, it's not for me, man." He said, "It's for my brother." He said, "Well, where's your brother?" He had him locked up in a room, man. You know what I'm saying? He opens the door for that room, man. The wildest guy I ever seen in my life walks out of there, man. I mean, he's all dressed up in leather, man. Got hair went down to his knees, man, and eyes are red. You know, we took him to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know that guy's still clean today, man? That's a specimen of a man. He's got over 30 years in the program, the truck driver, man, you know, owns several pieces of property, you know. Just over the day. It's the first time I learned, man, how to love without conditions. One time I went to an exhausted call over at the Valley Medical Center. And there was a fellow there that happened to be from another ethnic background. Well, you guys know my ethnic background, man. Shit, one time, you know, I was in a blackout, man. You know, on Fresno Street, I'm driving down Fresno Street in a blackout, and I slammed into the car 3 times. I don't remember doing it, man. I was in a blackout. The police come over, you know. I say to them, "I don't speak English." So they arrested me in Spanish. Crazy world we're living in, man, you know, thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. We seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us, and the power to carry that out. You know, the old timers just say, "Lack of power was my dilemma." I didn't have the power to stop drinking or using, man, I didn't have the power, you know, get angry, stop being angry, worrying, You know, and he told me, worrying is like being in a rocking chair. Man, you worry, you're in motion, but you're not getting anywhere. You know what works for me, man? Best thing in the present. Yesterday, man, is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift, man. That's why they call it the present. And for you guys that are, you know, financial people, you know, yesterday is a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is money in the bank. You know what, man? This moment isn't going to come back. This moment will never come back, man. And you can do whatever you want, man, with this moment. You can worry or think about what you got to do after the meeting or what happened before the meeting, you know. But this moment won't come back. After this, and you know, to me, man, it's a pleasure to be here. Very, man. I've been, you know, through quite a few meetings, man. You know, God bless you, Abraham, for remembering me, man. You know, like, Abraham reminded me of this fellow, you know, that I sponsored from Sacramento, Bill D. You know, and Abraham, you know, is very active in the program. He's the coordinator, you know, for Folsom Prison. And he invited me, you know, to Sacramento several times, you know, to speak, you know. And he said to me, Tomas, I told the guys about you, you know, in Folsom, and they want you to come over. He called me several times, man, you know. Finally, I said, okay, man, I'll go over, and I'll be there. So I go to Sacramento, and I'm staying, you know, with my son, you know. I have a son that lives up there. And he comes over early in the morning. It's still dark, you know. And so I get dressed and getting ready to go to carry the message into Folsom. And he looks at me and says, hey, Tomas, you can't go in there dressed like that, man. I said, what do you mean, man, the way I dress? He said, well, you know, you dress just like the Indians, man, you know, and this. And those guys are taught to shoot first and ask questions later. So I had to borrow some of my son's clothes, you know. Anyway, I went with him, and we got there, and the Lord was waiting for us, you know, like right in the entrance. And I don't know, maybe some of you guys have been in Folsom, man, but if you haven't, man, you know, it's a dungeon. It's a dungeon. Walls thicker than this building, man. We go down one elevator, and then out another, and then up another. And they got three sections in Folsom. They've got section A, section B, section C. And they took me to section C, man. That's where they never get out. The guys that are in section C never get out. So that's why I went and had a meeting with the inmates there in the library, you know. There was a guy, we had an inside secretary. Well, I've been to enough prisons, man, that I know how it works in the prisons. You know, we get a secretary inside the prison. I learned that from Bernard. And generally, when we have a secretary inside the prison, because we have meetings just like this, generally, the secretary, you know, he's responsible, just like out here, man, get the books ready, you know, get everything ready, man, you know. But generally, the secretary, they get out a little earlier. So this guy that was the secretary inside the prison was from Tulare. And he's doing live. And I say to him, you know what, man, generally, you know, when we have, you know, an inside secretary in prison, they generally let him out a little early. He says, yeah, but man, I've been here 19 years, man, he says, and I've heard rumors that they're going to transfer me to another section where they let you out, because from this section, they don't let you out, man. I'm grateful, man. You know what, man, you're an Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the last house on the block, man. The next step here, man, is prison or the mental institution or the cemetery. Yeah. That's the next step after, you know, from Alcoholics Anonymous, man. So, you know, I'm grateful and thankful, man. We seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand it. Praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Before I came to the meeting, folks, I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, make me a channel of Thy peace. That for this hatred that I may bring love. That for this wrong that I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That for this discord that I may bring harmony. That for this error that I may bring truth. That for this doubt that I may bring faith. That for this despair that I may bring hope. For the shadows that I may bring light. For the sadness that I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek to comfort rather than to be comforted. to understand and to be understood, to love and to be loved. For it is in self-forgetting that one finds, and it's in forgiving that one is forgiven. It's in dying that one awakens to eternal life. Yeah. In self-forgetting that one finds man. You know, why should I give the warm up speaker for Michelle? Michelle did a great job up here, man. You know what I'm saying? The courage. You know, when I came up here, that's what I was looking at. Courage, man. It takes courage, you know what I'm saying, to not drink and to not use. Anybody can drink and use. Anybody can get angry, man. Anybody can get a resentment, you know what I'm saying? And a resentment, they taught me, man, you know, is the number one offender, you know, of the alcoholic. And a resentment, man, is like an old Comcast. I have three cats at home. Anybody want one? You say, you know, a resentment is like an old Comcast. If you don't feed it, it'll go away. Now stop feeding them resentments, man. Somebody said, if you think about it more than 3 minutes, you're feeding it. My thinking led me to drinking. I'm eating a day keeps the thinking away. My mind is my garden. My thoughts are my seeds. I will harvest either flowers or weeds. That comes from the Golden Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything I know comes from AA, man. Anything worthwhile comes from Alcoholics Anonymous. It did them everything for me. I came here with nothing. Nothing. I was a nothing when I got here. I lost everything that I had. You know, I lost my business. I was bankrupt in every area, man. Matter of fact, I owed it with the IRS. I wouldn't pay no taxes, man. I used to say, why in the hell should I, man? But you know, because of Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I paid the state of California and the IRS everything that I owed them, man. Everything that I owed them. And then, California wanted to pay me a refund, man, with an IOU check. Crazy Grover here, man. But when I try to do, you know, when I try to make my will conform to God's will, is when I begin to use it right. And it, then comes the payoff, man. There's a payoff here in Alcoholics Anonymous, man. Nobody's going to go to work on Monday, man, if he's not going to get paid on Friday. Now we have a payoff here, man. That having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. In all our affairs. No, I have to grow, man, you know, in the life of the Spirit. This is a spiritual program. A spiritual program. Yeah. I don't belong to the world out there, man. Should I go down here from Fresno? But I don't belong to those freeways, man. I don't belong to those cars, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't belong to this world, man. I belong to the world of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is my world, man. I've been through enough prisons and then enough inmates, man. You ask the guy there, you know why he robbed the bank? He said, well, that's what I do. You ask the guy, you know, why were you selling drugs? That's what I do. Why do you steal cars? That's what I do. Well, this is what I do, man. This is what I do. And this keeps me out of prison, keeps me out of the cemetery, man, keeps me out of trouble. And the joy of living, man, across there. I have to grow, man. I have to improve my spiritual condition. I have to improve my spiritual condition. And having had, you know, a spiritual awakening. What's a spiritual awakening, man? You know, the Christians call it, you know, being reborn. In AA, we keep things simple, man. We say, having had a spiritual awakening. We come to the life of the Spirit. It's a good life. I know God's presence here today, man. I know that I wouldn't drive here, you know, with Mickey and Robert by themselves, and I told them on the way down here, man, shit, I won't go up to Tulare with just you two guys. I know that God is present here with them. But you guys got a great group over here, man, and I'm grateful to be celebrating my birthday with you guys. And again, I want to thank Rick, and I want to thank Ed Abraham. And my pastor, Bernard. God bless you, Bernard. Thank you, folks, and God bless all of you.